So I'm going to do the reading now. Damien, as I said earlier, is going to be talking about the church without walls. So we're going to be reading a passage from Acts, and it's Acts chapter 8, verses 4 to 25. So those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria, and he proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city of Samaria, and he amazed all of the people. He boasted that he was someone great, and that all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed, and he was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They'd simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability, so everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart isn't right before God. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you've said may happen to me." After they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Okay, I'm going to hand over to Damien now.
Good morning, everyone. It's been great to watch some of you commenting on our live feed. So if you're on YouTube or Facebook, please feel free to leave comments and scriptures and encouragements. A few people have commented. So Lita has said, "Good morning, everyone." And lots of people, in fact, have said good morning. It's great, isn't it, just to be in the same place at the same time, even though we can't see each other. Jackie Wagner said, "Good morning, everyone. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen." Faith says, "Thank you, Jesus, for all you have done and all you will continue to do." And Rose says, "Thank you, Jesus, that your love never runs out and never fails." Mohammed has also said, "Good morning." And David Williams says, "Good morning, Hope Church family. It's always good being in the house of God." So this morning, the whole theme of today is about missions. We've listened to a video from Ian Hesketh, which was about international missions and how we are connected to a church that is global, and that we have brothers and sisters scattered all around the world, some of whom we have no contact with, but through the Ian family, some of whom we do have contact with. And really, we are blessed. We don't know how blessed we are, but some people are really struggling, especially because of the COVID-19 situation. And I would encourage you to prayerfully consider giving to some of our missionaries who are around the world. Acts 8 is an incredible passage. Acts 8 is the story of how the gospel continues to go out. So at the beginning of the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is poured out on the church and the believers who were once timid and now bold, and they go out with this message of hope and they proclaim the word of God and they tell people about Jesus. And for a while that was going really well in Jerusalem, but after a while Stephen was stoned to death and a great persecution broke out in Jerusalem, which meant that the church was scattered. And we talked a few weeks ago about the church scattered and how it wasn't planned. It looked like everything had gone wrong, but wherever the believers went, they told people about Jesus and life broke out. And this is a particular story in what happened after the church was scattered. So at the beginning, in verse 4, it says, "Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went." I want to just begin today by saying what we have to offer the world isn't business techniques. It's not church as a business enterprise using marketing skills and having chief executive officers. The body of Christ, the church, is a spiritual entity achieving spiritual things for the kingdom of God. And so what we have to offer isn't our good ideas, it's not our platitudes, it is the word of God. The word of God, the Bible, the word of God is powerful to set people free in all sorts of ways. In fact, the Bible actually says about itself, it says, when we know the truth will set us free. Amazing. That is amazing. And to know the word of God actually begins a process in us. So it's not by accident that over the last few weeks we've been looking at some of the parables of Jesus. Jesus spoke often about the kingdom of God. And one of the parables we looked at was the parable of the sower, where the word of God was sown and produced a harvest in some people's lives. And so we see here that wherever the church was scattered, not just the apostles, not just the leaders, every Christian, wherever they were scattered, they preached the word wherever they went. And then in verse 5, we see that Philip, who was one of the early church that was scattered, ended up in a city in Samaria. And what we need to know about Samaria is Samaria was a place that nobody wanted to go. If you were a Jew, you didn't want to go to Samaria. In fact, a lot of the Jews hated the Samaritans. And again, we looked at that a few weeks ago too. The Samaritans were those who the Jews thought had compromised and they'd intermarried with surrounding nations. And when they returned back from the exile, they didn't follow the true faith. And so they were a hybrid of Judaism and other religions. And the Jews literally hated them. They had their own place of worship. But when Jesus was given the Great Commission, he said this, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem," which is the capital city of the Jewish nation, in Judea, which is the familiar surroundings of the Jewish people, the place where they lived. But then it also says that you will be my witnesses in Samaria and then to the ends of the earth. In other words, you're going to take this gospel to people you don't relate to, who you're not very much like, and in fact, in some cases, you don't even like. And you're going to take this gospel even then to the ends of the earth. And so this is actually the first time we read of the Great Commission being fulfilled in the gospel going to Samaria. And it says in verse 5 that when Philip went to a city in Samaria, he proclaimed the Messiah. Again, proclaiming the word of God, particularly, specifically, the message about Jesus, about his life, about his death, and about his resurrection. Today, I'm a Christian, not because I have been kind of churchified or made to be religious because I was brought up in a religious home. I love my mum and dad, but they weren't churchgoers when I was a young guy. And so I didn't go to church until I was 18. And I thank God that the church that I did go to preached the word of God. And I knew that there was a choice to be made between living a life outside of Christ and knowing Christ and following him as my Lord and Savior. And so it says that Philip proclaimed Jesus. And it says, when the crowds heard him and they saw the signs and the wonders, they all paid close attention. And what happened was when the word of God was proclaimed, Philip also cast out demons and healed the sick. It was a show and tell gospel. It was a proclaiming that Jesus was the Messiah and a demonstration of the power of Jesus and of his life by the kingdom coming powerfully in people's lives, in the casting out of demons and the healing of the sick. So the message of Jesus was accompanied by signs and wonders pointing to Jesus. And I think sometimes the church, we have a very two-dimensional gospel, and it's mainly about the words we speak. It's about the sermons we preach. And all of that is very, very important. But also we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. We are more than just word people. We are word and spirit people. And I would encourage you today, if you're a Christian, not only to preach the word, that is so important, and not only to enjoy the power of the Spirit, that is so important, but to know the word, to proclaim the word, and to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a show and tell gospel. And what happened when Philip proclaimed the message and demonstrated the kingdom through signs and wonders, they paid close attention. And in verse 8, it says, there was great joy in that city. Why? Ask yourself that. Why was there great joy in the city? It's because the reality of God had broken through. People saw the reality of God. Now, a little bit later on, it says that some people believed. Verse 12, they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, and they were baptized, both men and women. Now, I don't know if you understand that in the context into which Philip was preaching the gospel, this was revolutionary. Not only had Christianity being the reserve of the Jews up until that point, but people hadn't really hoped that the Samaritans would become Christians. And here was Philip preaching the gospel to Samaria, and people were getting saved. The first crop of those who weren't Jews coming into the kingdom of God. Now, this was baffling to some, but the apostles from Jerusalem heard what was going on, came to Samaria, and wanted to check out this new life that was springing up wherever the gospel was preached. And it says in verse 14, the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God. They sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they wanted to check that the new believers had received the power of the Holy Spirit. And when they understood that they hadn't, they had been baptized into the name of Jesus, but hadn't received the gift of the Father, the Holy Spirit, they laid their hands on the believers and they all received the Holy Spirit. Now there was a guy in Samaria, Simon. He was a sorcerer. He was like a magician. And everyone was so impressed. This guy was famous in the region. In fact, he was so famous that people were amazed at him and used to follow him around. They even gave him the name, the Great Power of God. So there was Simon doing these amazing things, counterfeit signs and wonders, if you like. Incredible things. He was the Paul Daniels or one of the other magicians. I don't really follow magicians, but he was the magician that everybody knew about, and he was so well known and well respected. But it says that Simon too heard the gospel, saw the signs and wonders, and became a Christian. He believed and was baptized. Now, when he saw that the apostles were laying on their hands and people were being filled with the Holy Spirit, something obviously supernatural and remarkable was happening before his eyes. He saw that the people who were ordinary people that he had grown up with, and maybe even some of those who had been following him around, he realized that some of these people were now operating in miracles and signs and wonders and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus themselves. And something fundamentally had changed because the Holy Spirit had come into their lives in power. And he made the great mistake. He had a reputation. It says in the passage that he was actually proud. He liked the title that had been assigned to him, the Great Power of God. And even though he had become a Christian, he saw that this power was greater that the apostles had, and he wanted to buy it. So he went to the apostles and he said, listen, if I give you money, will you give me the ability to lay my hands on people and to do what you have been doing? It's even more remarkable, even more astonishing than what he had been doing. And so because he was still full of bitterness and pride, the passage says, he asked to pay to receive the ability to lay on hands. His motives were all wrong, and the apostles rebuked him sharply and said that your motives are wrong because you thought that you could buy with money the gift of God. Now, the reason I chose this passage today is because as a church, it's really important that we understand that this message that we have and the power of the Spirit that we have shouldn't be contained within the walls of our buildings. The church started as a church without walls. In Jerusalem, they used to meet in each other's homes and in the temple courts under Solomon's colonnade. That was an area of the temple that they used to meet in. When the persecution came, they didn't have church buildings and they didn't have religious systems, but they did have the gospel and they did have the power of God through the Holy Spirit, and that's all they needed. And today, sometimes we rely so much on our buildings and on our programs and on our, you know, our bank accounts and on our social media and all of that stuff, when all we really need is Jesus, his message, and his power through the Holy Spirit. We are a church without walls. In fact, I feel uncomfortable preaching in a room after saying that, so I'm going to go outside. A church without walls. This week, I have just been stunned by Jesus. A couple of occasions spring to mind. I'm going to tell you a story about a couple of people that I've spoken to this week, and I kind of hope they're watching because we had some amazing conversations. And if you are watching Mark or Brian, not my dad, another Brian, I just want to say it was such a privilege to speak to you this week, and I've been praying for you every day since our conversation. So the first conversation, I was going out for a walk with Aaron, my son, and just before we were about to go out, I remember just, I was brushing my teeth, and I said to the Lord, I've had some good conversations with people when I've been out. It would be amazing to have a great conversation with somebody while Aaron's there, and for him to see the power of the Spirit at work in one of those gospel conversations. And just as I was praying that, I wasn't praying it out loud, I was just praying it in my heart. As I was praying that, I just had a picture of a man's face with a mustache. And so I just thought, well, that's unusual. And I parked it, but I remembered it. And we set off on our walk, and we walked through the Corby Woods. And part of the way through the journey, we were walking along this long path, and there was a man sitting on a bench a little bit further along. And he was just looking into the distance. He looked thoughtful. And as I got closer, I realized he had a mustache and a bit more facial hair besides. And because of that, I thought, well, maybe this is the guy that the Holy Spirit put on my heart to stop and talk to today. And so as we approached and got a bit closer, I at a social distance that was appropriate, I said to him, that's a beautiful view, isn't it? I just started a conversation. And he said, yeah, it is beautiful, but I've got a few things on my mind. And we talked for a long time, and the conversation turned around to spiritual things, and quickly realized that that Brian had a difficult life, and there were lots of things that hadn't gone well in his life. And so we talked about the hope of Jesus, and we talked about Christianity being a relationship with God and not religion. We talked about how Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and that we could receive him and have new life. And we had a great conversation, lasted quite a long time. And then at the end, I didn't sense that, you know, that was the moment that he wanted to give his life to Jesus. By the way, if you're watching, Brian, I'd love to have that follow-up conversation we talked about. I gave him my number, and I said that it'd be great to meet again. And then later on in the week, I was meeting some guys from Hope Church, and we were going for a socially distanced walk through the same woods, and we came to a different part of the woods. And there was a guy there who I had met a couple of weeks before. He had his dog with him, and he was just sitting on a log, just, you know, enjoying the sunshine and enjoying the view. And because we'd had a great conversation a couple of weeks earlier, he remembered me, I remembered him, so I went over to have a conversation. And the guys that were with me came over as well, and we just all sat round in the sunshine under a tree in the woods, and we talked about Jesus for an hour. And it was just one of the most remarkable hours of my whole entire week. And towards the end of the conversation, I could just see that Mark's heart was just getting wider open to Jesus. And he, again, we talked about how Christianity isn't about rules and regulations. It's not about a system. It's not about a building you go to. All of those things help, but they can be the scaffolding in front of the building, not the building itself. And so what we said was Christianity is all about Jesus. It's all about his life. It's all about his death on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. It's all about his resurrection, that he's not still in the grave like other religious founders, that he is alive, the Son of God, God in human form, who took our place on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. He took our place and took our punishment and then came back to life, breaking through the seal of the grave and now seated at the right hand of the Father. And we were able to talk about a whole range of things. And as we did, I just thought, I never feel more alive than when I'm speaking to people who aren't yet Christians about Jesus. And what I've been encouraged by this week is that that's been my experience, but there have also been some other experiences. So I received a message from Sylvia, and Sylvia, I imagine you're watching this morning. Sylvia contacted me to say that she's just been through our Alpha course and that she was sitting in the back garden with Lynn and had just given her life to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Isn't that amazing? And so she wanted to say thank you. There was a conversation we had quite a few months ago, and there were quite a few conversations that she's had with people since. She's asked all of her questions and become convinced and now wants to make Jesus her Lord and her Savior. So I want you to pray for Sylvia as she begins this journey with Jesus. That is amazing. In addition to that, I had a message from David, one of our elders, and he said that a friend of his who's not a Christian got in touch to say, could David meet with one of his friends socially distanced in his garden? He's going through a difficult time. The long and short of it is that David had the privilege of leading this man to Jesus in his back garden this week. The church is without walls. We don't have a building at the moment. We don't have Brook Weston. We can't use the Hope Center. A lot of our life groups aren't able to meet in homes for the time being. But what we do have is the message of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit has never changed. We are a church without walls, preaching about a Jesus who isn't confined by our human limitations and is still touching hearts and drawing people to himself. So I wanted to finish just with a couple of things. First is a building update. I've been in touch with Brook Weston this week, and they haven't got any immediate plans to receive us back. In fact, their community team still isn't back in the building. So even though some churches will be opening on the 4th of July, it'll be a little bit longer before Hope Church is able to meet, and only following an extensive risk assessment. The elders came to the Hope Centre during the week and we did an extensive risk assessment. And for the time being, we're going to use the Hope Centre for live streaming, and it might be in time that we open it to one or two groups, but no external bookings. And we're not opening it to large numbers of people, but that's something we'll communicate with you a little bit more about. Life groups have been asking me this week, because of some of the changes in the lockdown regulations, are we able now to meet in homes? And the answer, unfortunately, at this time is still no. But we can begin to meet in smaller numbers in people's back gardens. You'll have seen the regulations being talked about on the news and all of that. So there are more opportunities to be together socially distanced than there were before. But before life groups go back, unfortunately, each life group will have to do a risk assessment. And because of social distancing, we won't be able to fit as many people in a room as before, unless, of course, you live in a mansion. And that would be a real benefit at this time. So that's that. And then one final thing, and this is, so of course, yeah, Zoom meetings for life groups will continue, and we'll continue live streaming. Hopefully some people will take the initiative to be together, but there will be some who, because, you know, they're over 70 or in the vulnerable category, you're making the choice not to do that. And that's absolutely fine. Everybody will have to follow their own conscience in terms of that. But one final thing that I think you'll be interested in. My friend of mine, who is a pastor in Cornwall, made the national news this week by being the first church in the UK to have drive-in church. And they had to really contest this because the council in Cornwall, for all sorts of reasons, decided that it wouldn't be a good idea, and they put some obstacles in their way. They said, you know, all sorts of things to do with health and safety and you know, car parks being a public place. And there were all sorts of reasons why they said no. But the church in Cornwall had had a prophetic word. They approached Christian Concern. Christian Concern advocated on their behalf. The council quickly changed their mind. And then last Sunday, they had the first outdoor drive-in church in the UK. I want you to know that before that happened, and I didn't know that was going to happen, we had already approached Corby Council to ask if we could have a drive-in church in Corby. Our big blue bus is ready. It just needs to be driven back to Corby. That'll be happening at the beginning of July. Currently, I've contacted our MP. Our MP is behind us having a drive-in church, contacted one of the councillors in Corby who's behind us having a drive-in church, and the council are now considering it as an opportunity. So I want you to pray for favour for us so that we can have drive-in church in Corby. I believe that this will be an amazing opportunity, not only for us to gather socially distanced in our cars and to see each other's faces, but I think it will be an amazing opportunity for people who would never normally come to one of our church services to come along to hear the message of Jesus as the church demonstrates that it is a church without walls. So I want you to watch a short video as we come into land, and we're going to pray in a moment. But this is a video of a dandelion clock spreading its seeds, and I want you to think of yourself in that context, that we aren't confined. We're not like a plant in a plant pot that can't move beyond the confines of that plant pot. We're actually like the seeds of a dandelion clock. It's not by accident we chose that as our logo as a church. That we are the scattered ones. And when the breath of the Holy Spirit is blown and we are scattered, life breaks out wherever we land. So wherever one of those seeds lands, potentially a new dandelion springs up. And as Christians, we have the message of Jesus and the power of the Spirit. We are a church without walls. God bless you. Have a look at this.